While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Please be seated. Over this past Christmas break, I had the pleasure of traveling to South Carolina to officiate the wedding of a young man whose family I have been friends with since my youth ministry days at St. Stephen's in Hearst before going to seminary. The church in South Carolina was a beautiful church, built in 1706, and as with most weddings, included an interestingly diverse group of bridesmaids, groomsmen, and assorted friends and family. And between the rehearsal, ceremony, and reception, I got to spend a fair amount of time with the folks in the bridal party. As I was saying my farewells following the reception, one of the more interesting friends of the groom commented on how I was a pretty cool priest. I'm sure between my taste in movies and music and my knowledge and passion for nerdy pop culture, I did not fit his stereotype of a priest. I was able to converse with him and even had some strong opinions on things that were of interest to him. So why exactly am I telling you this story? I mean, you are all very well aware of the fact that you have a cool priest. And and my penchant for all things nerd is regularly on display with my various Spider-Man and Star Wars notebooks. Let's go back to our gospel lesson for a minute. So we have Jesus, and he has not yet appeared to all of the disciples, only the ones on the road to Emmaus and apparently Simon Peter at some point. And since it is recorded in other accounts, we can assume Jesus just sort of appeared despite locked doors and stood among the disciples. So that, coupled with the fact that they had just seen him crucified a few days ago, had them scared. So Jesus says, "Peace." And he shows them his hands and his sides and tells them to touch him and feel that he is real. Now they're getting excited, but maybe they're not quite still sure if Jesus is the real deal. So now he says, "Okay, fine, bring me something to eat." And he takes a piece of fish and eats it in front of them. Well, finally, it seems, this is what convinces them of the fact that he is Jesus, resurrected flesh and blood, not some ghost or apparition. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and everything that was written about him. So the whole point of my story about the wedding is this. So much of our evangelism hinges on that piece of fish. Unfortunately, that was a wedding in a completely different state, and it's highly unlikely that I will ever see those wedding guests again, but maybe, just maybe, I changed one person's mind about what a priest should be like, and maybe made them even the slightest bit more receptive to the Christian faith. In other situations, those kinds of interaction can be valuable first steps. Jesus ate that fish to show the disciples that he was real, by showing them that he was like them. Now, I'm not saying you should go out and approach groups of strangers and ask for food that you can eat in front of them. What I'm saying is that you have to put in the time and effort to find ways to show people that you are real. That despite being a follower of Christ, you aren't actually so different from them. Now, interestingly, food provides one of the best opportunities for these kinds of interactions. It is so universal. We all have to eat. And yet, despite the fact that it's something we do every day, multiple times a day, it still carries an amazing amount of intimacy. Just look at the events surrounding Jesus' death and resurrection. One of the last things Jesus did with his disciples before he was crucified was to have a meal. In multiple post-resurrection events, there is food involved. On the road to Emmaus, Jesus revealed himself at a meal. We have this account today with the fish. On the beach where Jesus commissioned Peter to feed his sheep, he prepared for them a meal. Our own worship is centered around, and Jesus makes himself present to us in you guessed it, a meal. Here's an example. Just yesterday, we were having our vestry calendar planning meeting. Tony, he joined our vestry just this year, so he's been to about 4 meetings so far, which means we've probably spent some, 40 or 50 hours sitting in the same room together. That's a joke. Vestry meetings only feel like they last that long. That's another joke. But yesterday, when we broke to have lunch, I learned more about Tony in that short 45 minutes than I had known from all of our previous interactions. So before anyone will listen to what we have to say, they have to know that we are real, that we share the same hopes and worries, that we can find shared interests and commonalities. This is a drum that I beat fairly constantly, but it is so important. Evangelism and discipleship happen most effectively in the context of relationships. This relational aspect is what makes small churches like ours feel like family. When working to bring others to know Jesus, we have to find that piece of broiled fish. Whether it is sitting around an actual dinner table or hanging out talking about cars or comic books or quilting, we must find ways to make Christians no longer ideas or stereotypes, but flesh and blood human beings by putting ourselves in the midst of the world and sharing our lives. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.